Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to everyone in an effort to help them awaken to universal truth. If you want to learn about spirituality, the occult, and all things related to metaphysics, you are in the right place. Hey everybody, thank you for tuning in today. My name is Dina, and you're listening to Intuitive Awakening. I hope everybody has been doing well. It's definitely been a minute since I've recorded anything. Just like you, I work full-time. I've been really busy at my job, and keeping a roof over my head takes precedence. So I'm glad I'm able to sit down and kind of record this for you today. Someone reached out to me a couple of weeks ago and asked whether or not I'd be willing to provide you kind of an update on my journey, as well as some tips to improve your own clairs. And I did a live stream of this on YouTube, but I thought I would go ahead and, if you don't watch YouTube a lot, I thought I would go ahead and create my own kind of podcast show on this as well, if you're more like me, tuning into Apple often. So let me begin. Let's talk about an update on my own individual journey. It has definitely been a minute since I've spoken about this, but also I have not created any content on YouTube in forever and a day, and there are reasons for this. First and foremost, I hate being on video. I really do ask people at my job. I don't like it. So I don't, but the second reason that I haven't created any new content is because everything that I shared with you in all of those videos I created then, is what I know for the most part in terms of how to improve or how to access your sight, your sound, and your feeling, sensing of spirit. You know, we live in an age where people want something new all the time, and that's great. I like new things as well, but what works, works. When you are learning new techniques, or when you're learning how to access your gifts, there are a variety of ways to do so, and every teacher teaches their way. You have to keep that in mind when you're going to work with someone. You're learning from their perspective, from their own personal craft that usually should be coming from years of practice, right? The point that you get with them, it's because they've been studying, but also they have created their own specific methodology. And what you received from my videos was my methods, what I've learned from practice. So in terms of me creating a bunch of new content to show you, you know, all of the various ways you can do it, that sounds great. But again, you're getting from me what I know how to do, what I know works specifically, and what I've seen work as well. So does this mean nothing has changed over the years? Of course, things have changed, which I'll talk to you about today. But just please note that how I work, or how I tune in or read people or see or hear or whatever, is my standard practice with, of course, some modifications as the years go on. So let's kind of move in to that, since people kind of wanted some sort of update, which is interesting. In terms of an update on my journey in particular, yes, there have been changes that have kind of coincided with personal changes in my life, you know, moving to new states, different types of jobs. I mean, you know, life happens, right? But as life happens, you know, your gifts change through time, which is something that I've experienced. So yes, I've had some sort of crazy change that was very unexpected. As most of you know, I, for all my life, I've been clairaudient. I've heard externally, but that has shifted over the years to more of an internal gift, which has been a very interesting shift, given the fact that, you know, once you have a gift, you perfect it and you work on it, and you're so used to it, it becomes part of your natural life. To have that make an abrupt change, you know, has an impact, unexpected impact. And this is also good for me to tell you guys that as you practice through time, things are going to change. Things are going to evolve, quote unquote, for the better. The blessing in disguise, as they like to tell me that I'm supposed to believe. Yes, it's a blessing in disguise. So your gifts are also going to change through time. Why does that happen? That's a good question. You have to remember that your higher self has its own plan. It may be at odds with the plan that you have for your life at times, but your higher self has its own goal that it's trying to achieve. The lessons that it's trying to learn for your better, your soul's, you know, growth, essentially, this lifetime. And yes, it can be at odds with what you're doing, what you at least desire to do, and where you think you are and where you should be. And I will say, you know, speaking for myself, that when I had my hearing and everything was great, and I was always talking to my guys every day, like they're my best friends. we were always kicking it when I was, you know, going about living my life. When that changed very abruptly, did I get, you know, some sort of notification? No, of course not. Did spirit come to tell me there was some change coming? Maybe a little, if you could decipher it. Definitely it was symbolic, the message. So that happens as well. That's what I'm trying to tell you, is that there will be a change at some point, unexpected. And the reason is primarily is because your higher self has something else in mind, something else that it wants to achieve in your life plan. Now, are they going to ask you first? No, of course not. You're going to just do it. So I will say with my journey, yes, that happened. So my hearing is more internal now, not to the level it was externally, to be honest. Now I have to really be quiet to hear the messages, as opposed to when it was external, where I could just be living my life and then, you know, getting some answers and going about my business. So that has definitely shifted. And there's been more of a shift towards my sight, which is what my higher self prefers me to do, is work more on my sight, because that's what it wants to use. And even that has been an experience. And to be honest with you guys, I've definitely read biographies of other intuitive psychics, what have you, to see if they've had this experience, because I can only speak for myself in that, you know, the change was pretty abrupt. And I have yet to really find anybody who actually talks about that. Not to say they didn't experience it. The only person I think may have had like some sort of change was Edgar Cayce. And I think that comes through time for him, because I think he had to go into like that deep sleep first / deep meditation to get answers. But as he got older, it wasn't like it took long anymore. It was pretty immediate. So, you know, your gifts, I don't know, improve through time. So I don't really know. But anyway, all this to say, because I'm rambling here, is that yes, you know, for me in particular, my things have changed. Even how I see is different. It's peculiar, and I'm still working with it. It's unexpected. But this is to say, this happens to, I think, a lot of people, where let's say that you are naturally clairvoyant. Well, that could shift in like 5 or 10 years, where all of a sudden you start hearing. You know, you never know how it's going to go or how it's going to work out. So you wanted an update on my journey. That's kind of where I am. I have sight, and it is very different. I have visions in the morning sometimes. I have seen with my eyes open, which is very strange and very random. What else? I try to read as much as possible, which is what I'm trying to tell you, you know, in terms of like how to increase, you know, your gifts or how to make them stronger. Read as much information as possible, get your knowledge on, and then apply it in your daily life. All of the things that you've read in wisdom texts across the world, forgiveness, there is really power in that. And believe it or not, one of the biggest effects is that your gifts grow, believe it or not, because everything comes from the heart center, right? That's where all your gifts truly come from. And the more you love, the more you forgive, the more your heart extends, the more your spirit expands, the more it sees, the more it hears, the more it feels. That's how you truly grow. That's one of the ways. That's a profound way. I will say it like that. And I'm sure everyone, well, I don't want to generalize here, but it's easy for me to just sit here and say, oh, just forgive. Life is hard. I know that. There are things I'm still working on. Obviously, I'm no guru, Jesus. You know, I'm a human being having a life like you. But forgiveness is key. Trying to forgive people for what they said to you, their crazy actions or lack thereof, right? Not doing what they're supposed to do. People who lash out, say the cruelest things, thoughtless. People who ignore you, people who treat you like, you know, you are inferior. all of that, things that we come up against in our daily lives that are so freaking hard, especially when they compound themselves over time in one day, right? Life is hard because everybody's acting from their wounds. Not all the time, but a good portion of the time we're reacting, right? Most of us don't take a pause first to think, okay, this person's anger doesn't have anything to do with me, but they're just acting out on me, you know, towards me during this moment. Most of us don't think that. We automatically react and then we get angry and then we got to go back at night and try to forgive. So forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness of other people, but really forgiveness of yourself. We are imperfect beings. The point is to grow. Try to do better the next day. Try to think a better thought the next day. Give yourself another chance to be better the next day. Like I said, if you want to grow your gifts, work on forgiveness. And again, I'm not lecturing here. This is really what my guide has been telling me, to be honest with you guys. Something that he is irritated when it comes to me. Like, you need to forgive yourself for whatever it is, you guys. Whether you didn't take the opportunity that you regret. Whether you went left instead of right. Whether you stayed longer than you should at doing something. Whether you feel like you're not good enough. You need to learn to forgive yourself and love yourself, because this is not only to get your gifts, you guys, but this is, you know, to so that you don't hinder your soul's growth. I'll put it like that. Also, to give yourself a freaking break. Life is hard. Life can be hard. It's not always hard, but, you know, there are a lot of hard moments. And it's a tough school to be at. And loving other people, accepting people. I'm not saying accepting horrible behavior or accepting violence, nothing like that, but trying to understand again that we're spirits having a human experience here, and we all make mistakes, and we're going to continue to make mistakes, and that's just the reality of being here. And trying to just love people and seeing the spirit within them. These are the ways that there's steps to personal growth, spiritual growth, right? But also, you will see through time, the more you forgive, the more you love, the more your gifts are actually just naturally going to grow in your heart center. You will definitely see a shift in your sight. You'll see a shift in your sound. Even feeling is going to shift as well. All right. So let's talk about practical ways tactical ways that you can improve your gifts. Now, if you've taken, you know, some classes with me, we've had a lot of fun experiences together. So some of this is not going to be new to you, or some of it is new. So let's talk first about clairsentience. What can we do to try to improve this? You know, like I said on the YouTube video, not one person has ever reached out to me asking to be able to learn how to feel or sense spirit. Everybody wants to know how to see spirit or how to hear spirit, which I get you. I'm the same. Clairsentience is such a strange gift to have, but it is a blessing, because if you can feel energy, actually feel energy, especially if you are an energy healer, it's quite an amazing gift, because then you can sense illness. You can feel illnesses in the body. You know where they are. It's remarkable. So clairsentience is a great gift. And I do think that people who are empathic, and when I say that, I mean people who can actually feel the emotions of other people, people who can actually feel the illnesses of other people in their own body, in their actually own body. Those are the greatest healers to have here. So clairsentience in that way is a remarkable blessing for people. Now, I am clairsentient, but I cannot feel your illness, thank God. I was telling this to someone the other day. I used to practice with a friend of mine for over 6 years. We practiced all the freaking time. And she had that type of clairsentience. So whenever we sat down to practice, and we had a third person too, that we would practice with, she could feel what was going on in my body. She knew exactly everything that I was struggling with, and my other friend as well. So if anybody had indigestion, she was feeling that at the moment. If anybody was having lower back pain, she knew it right off the bat. She would just tell us as we were sitting down, ready to get started. So it's such a remarkable gift, but nobody really asks for it. And it, I mean, it's a blessing and a curse in a way, right? Like, who wants to feel that in a crowd of hundreds of people? It's something you can't turn off. So let's talk about clairsentience first. How do you begin to sense energy? And again, when you feel energy, you literally are going to feel it in your body. It's not something that is in the mind. It's in the actual physical form. So when you want to feel something, you feel it through your hands for the most part. When I mean that, when you want to sense energy, we're going to sense it first in the hands. Okay, so just, I'm going to give you the example that I gave you in the video if you didn't get to watch it. So if you want to practice and learn this gift in particular, you need at least 3 to 4 people to practice on for about 4 to 5 weeks. And you're going to practice feeling their energy in particular. Meaning, you are going to sit right next to them or sit right behind them. You're going to close your eyes and you're going to place one hand in front of them, one hand behind them. And you're going to just try to see if you feel something in your hands, okay? In your hands. This is what we do initially. See if you notice anything, any pressure changes, even anything in your own body, if that just happens to pop up. And then you do this to the next person, the next one, the next one, and the next one. And then you practice with them for 4 to 5 weeks. You will start to see that, my hands are feeling something here. Oh, my hands were feeling something here. Now this is different. Or this person, whenever I put my hands around this person, my hands, you know, vibrate a lot. Or in this other person, there's going to be a lot of, pulsations in the palms of my hand. You will start to pick this up over time. But again, your commitment is necessary and consistency is always key. That's how you really grow your gifts, okay? So that's one way to improve and learn clairsentience if you want to learn this gift. Okay, so let's move on to clairaudience. How do we improve this? This is kind of tricky because there are really only two ways to hear spirit. You either hear, you know, external or you hear internal. I can't teach you how to hear externally. You either have that or you don't. Everybody has the internal hearing. That's the small, still voice within. And that voice is small because our ego is very loud, remember? And that's what we always go to first. We listen to that voice and it's always barking, right? But to hear your higher self, that inner voice, well, you have to shut up and you have to really, really pay attention and listen and want to hear it. That's something I can teach in particular. But when it comes to external hearing, again, you either have it or you don't. Not saying it can't come, you know, through practice. It can. But let's talk about how to hear in general here. So as you've seen through all the content I have created years back on YouTube, I have told everybody there are two ways to get, you know, that hearing to start to open up. First way is to sing. I tell this to everybody all the time. If you sing a lot, if you can sing 2 to 3 songs a day and commit to that out loud in the car, in the shower, whatever, it's going to start to get things going. The juices are flowing, okay? So that's one way. The second way is through chanting, all right? So again, what do these have in common? Vocalization. I've told this to people I work with, the students, that people have the misconception here that hearing comes through your ears. No, it comes through your throat. That's where all of your clairaudience sits. So a lot of our attention has to go to your throat chakra. Meaning if you struggle with being like a hardcore introvert and you don't feel comfortable expressing yourself, if you hate public speaking, if you have that type of anxiety, it doesn't prohibit you from being able to hear. So don't think that, but it will be a little challenging. So you have your work cut out for you a little bit more. All right. So if you want to start kickstarting this gift, you're going to wake up tomorrow and start singing, or even tonight when you're taking a bath shower. And then you'll do it for 4 weeks straight, every day. Not really that difficult, right? You can sing anything you want. The chanting will be new. But if you introduce that into your practice weekly, maybe on the weekends, 5 minutes, you guys. It doesn't need to be more than that, all right? You can chant Om or whatever, 5 minutes. Again, these two together are going to kickstart your hearing. That's how you develop your clairaudience. There are more ways to do this, which if you work with me as a student, you know, I teach you. All right, so let's talk about clairvoyance, everybody's numero uno. Everybody wants sight. Everyone wants to see a disembodied spirit. Everybody wants to see their guides and angels. I just want to hear them. But like, I've seen disembodied spirits, and it's, let me just say, two thumbs down, y'all. It was not fun. I don't recommend it. I don't know if I'm a scaredy cat, but it is a strange, sometimes ominous, like, experience. But let's talk about this, because that's usually not what happens when you're opening up your spiritual sight. You ain't gonna see grandma standing at the side of the bed, okay? You're not gonna see some dark lord or whatever it is, like, hanging out in your room, unless you're somebody else, I guess. Rather, your sight opens through meditation. We know this. It is through meditation. That's how you begin to see. That's how you begin to kickstart your sight. The focus, though, has to be on what? Your third eye chakra. That's where a lot of your attention needs to go. The more you work on that, the more you'll definitely be able to see. So if you guys remember, with a lot of the information I shared with you via YouTube some years back, what I shared with you were techniques. Techniques are really important. Like I said earlier, what I shared with you is what I have learned through consistent practice, trial and error. Not everything is going to resonate that you use, but what you use, you include into your own, you know, method. You make it a part of your individual methodology. So that's something I want to kind of reiterate here, is that yes, along with the forgiveness and the self-love and the love and giving back, you know, and helping people out, all that great stuff that makes us, you know, humans down here and great spiritual beings, we also have to practice utilizing very practical techniques. That's what good psychics, intuitives have. They have their go-to techniques. That's what you need to learn. That's how you become a good reader. That's how you collaborate with spirit. And then they learn your techniques, and then you guys work together very quickly, and it's great. So that's something that I teach to people, are techniques. Things that work for me from my perspective that I think will work for you too. Obviously, they may not, but I hope that they do. So I'm going to teach you one today, one that I did review again on the live stream, but if you didn't get to that, that's fine. Just a very simple technique here today that you can use. So let's say you have a yes or no question. Only yes or no, not maybe, okay? So don't be trying to mix it up that way. All you have to do is close your eyes and breathe in and out for a little bit. You need to do breathing. I don't think people really understand how important it is to do a lot of breathing to relax the body prior to meditation, while you're meditating, but also prior to answering a question. Anybody who works with me knows I make you breathe first, like do deep breathing. And then after you do the deep breathing, what you're gonna do with your eyes closed, we're gonna work on your imagination. And we'll talk about the imagination in a minute. You'll just bring your attention to your imagination with your eyes closed, and you're going to imagine a rose. It could be a white rose, yellow, red, pink, I don't care about the color. But you will, in your mind's eye, meaning your imagination, you're going to see a rose there, but it is going to be closed, a closed bud rose, okay? And then you're going to think of a yes or no question that you need an answer to. You are going to direct this question to your guide or higher self, or guardian angels or archangels? This is who you're going to be asking, unless you do goddess work and other deity work. I don't know. Whoever your go-to person is, your Jesus, I don't know. That's who you're going to ask. You're going to ask them this yes or no question with this rose visible in your mind's eye. If you see the rose open, the answer is yes. If it remains closed, the answer is no. Simple. It is that simple. Very easy technique. And the more you do this, the easier it's going to get, the faster the answer is going to come. And then if this does work for you, you're going to use this as part of your own psychic toolkit. This becomes a part of your method. This is your go-to. So if you decide to become a practitioner, then somebody asks you, you know, you're doing a reading and someone comes to you and they ask you a yes or no question. Well, you can pull this out of your pocket and then use this to get the yes or no question. This is how psychics work. They build their techniques, and this is through a lot of practice, right? And then, depending on if you have a question about timing, if you have a question about travel, things like that, they should have techniques for that. And then they pull those out at the right moment to use that technique to work with spirit so they can, you know, shed some light on the information or shed some light, you know, on the question that you have. That's essentially how you do it. You have within yourself like this endless imagination. So let's say you didn't want to use a rose, you can use something else as a substitute, whatever works for you. The technique is, you know, essentially the same, but it's yours. And that's how you grow. That's how you work with spirit. You're always in a state of like collaboration. And you have to use your imagination. You know, I don't know if one of my students or, you know, is listening, but we've been working together for some weeks, and I always make students practice on me at the end so they can see how far they've gotten. And it was funny, her response when she was tuning in, and she kept getting, you know, the imagination, that's how you grow. And she's 100% point on. That's exactly how you grow your sight, is by practicing using your imagination. And one thing that I mentioned on the stream is this whole concept of world building. This is something I do, believe it or not. When you think of world building, you kind of think of fantasy books like Lord of the Rings, Tolkien, if that's his last name, God forgive me, I'm having like memory loss at this moment as I'm speaking, but how he, you know, had to build all those different worlds so detailed, right? He had to use so much imagination. Amazing. But that's what we need to do. We have to world build. We have to create a space for spirit to meet us. I hope that this is making sense. I know I'm kind of going off left field here, but this, you know, if you want to know what I do and how I improve and how to improve your sight, that's something you need to practice doing. Whether it's world building or manifesting in a sense that you're manifesting visually what it is that you want, any exercise in imagination is an exercise in clairvoyance. So let's go back to this concept of world building. So let's say that you're, you know, example, trying to manifest like having a home of your dream in the south of France with, I don't know, a luscious garden, I don't know, I'm just trying to think here, with like three kitchens. I don't know, y'all, I'm just making this up. But if you want to exercise that clairvoyance, what you're going to do is sit down, make time, and you're going to see every single detail playing it out. And you're going to be there. And you are going to imagine every detail. You're going to feel the heat or the cold, if that's your preference, or the rain, if you like it. You are going to feel the air, you're going to smell the scents, you're going to hear the sounds, you're going to see it all. You are going to harness your imagination to make it real, to build that world. That's what we do, essentially, if you want to stretch your clairvoyance, to see better. I hope that that makes sense. I probably should do a separate episode on this now that I'm thinking about it, but that's how I see better. I build worlds before I go to bed at night. I build the world that I want to be in before I go to sleep. I build the world that I want to be in when I wake up in the morning. And I found that the more I do that, the clearer my vision becomes. That's the advice that I can give to you. If you want to see more, you have to spend time. You have to really commit, you guys. It can't just be like a one-off. It can't just be, oh, I meditated 3 times last month. Well, that's not really going to do much for you. You have to really make a concerted effort here. Whether it's setting your timer on your watch clock at 6:50, so 6:50 to 7:15 at night, that is your time to see and practice. Obviously, there are a slew of other exercises that you can do to exercise your third eye, which is what you have to do. And I recommend all of them, whatever that may be for you, whatever you find. But what I'm telling you are just some ways that you can now put into practice so you can begin to see just a little bit more clearly. I'm trying to think if there was anything else, guys, that I probably addressed that I'm forgetting here. No, I don't think so. I think that's everything. So all of this to say is that, you know, everything, all of these techniques, you know, are there for you to grow, to expand, so that you can become either more proficient at feeling, more proficient at hearing, become more proficient at seeing. And the more you dedicate yourself, I promise you will see expansion. It just may take you a little bit longer. It just depends on your personal journey. Some people I've seen, man, like in 4 weeks, boom, big change. Others, it could take 8. It could take 6 months. It depends on so many, a variety of factors. So don't be hard on yourself as well. And then the other thing I feel like is really important to say here before I end this episode is that, you know, these abilities, if you will, they are so helpful, right? They're so helpful because if we expand our hearing, then we can hear spirit and we can talk with them about our lives, about problems that we're having. The same thing, if you can see spirit, you can do the same thing, right? And feel spirit too, if you can get answers that way. But all of these techniques, they become part of your problem solving repertoire. That's what all of this is. It helps you to problem solve at a different level. Right? So, you know, as you are using these exercises that connect you to a different world, they remind you that, okay, I'm not of this world, so I can, you know, these problems can always be solved here. But we do these things like meditate, pray, and, you know, practice consistently so that, yes, you know, we can be available to spirit, be useful to spirit, to be of service here and to help a number of people as well, not just ourselves, because we're not selfish. Right? And the whole goal is to be of service here, but they help us to, you know, to problem solve at a very different level. So it's not just on an individual basis, but it is for the collective as well. You guys, I really hope that this has been helpful. I totally did not intend to do this episode. I was like on hiatus for a little bit, but somebody reached out and asked these questions, and it just, I just wanted to answer her, and I hope it's been helpful for her, and I hope you guys that this has really been helpful for you all. Thoughts and prayers are out, you know, to the world right now. Things are very hard for a lot of people everywhere, so everyone's in my prayers. I really hope you guys have a really great weekend. Take care of yourselves. All right, until next time. Bye.